Welcome back to the Accrescent Podcast. I'm your host, Leanne, and today we have guest expert Brad Yates on the show to talk all about emotional freedom technique, also known as tapping. And for some of my clients who've worked with me for a bit, you might be familiar with Brad Yates because I have sent his EFT tapping meditations on YouTube to a number of my clients over the years. I love his approach, his method, his just kind of personality and aura. But to give a little bit more background for those who aren't familiar with him, Brad is known internationally for his creative and often humorous use of emotional freedom technique, also known as tapping. He combines tapping with positive psychology to help others overcome the fears that hold them back and redefine themselves in a positive light. When Brad isn't on stage, you can find him on his YouTube channel, which has grown to over 1,300 videos with over 44 million views and almost 300,000 subscribers. I know you guys are going to love this interview. EFT is a resource, an emotional support resource that I have found so impactful. It's one I introduce all of my clients to at some point. And even inside my own Uplevel Lab platform, I have designed and output a number of different EFT meditations. I just think they are so, so impactful. So without further ado, please enjoy this interview with Brad Yates. Well, Brad, welcome to the Accrescent Podcast, the Accrescent community. So excited to have you here today.
I'm excited to be here, Leanne. Thank you for having me.
We were talking off air about how I've actually sent a number of your YouTube videos, your tapping videos to my one-on-one clients. So I'm sure there'll be a number of people who are familiar with you, with tapping, but I do love an origin story. So if you can take us back a little bit, we're going to get into all the juicy bits of what is tapping, how does it work, the physiology, but a little bit of your story, how you got introduced and kind of some of the steps that led us there.
How does a grown man find himself tapping on his face for a living?
Yeah. That's going to be the title of your book.
Exactly. So I started out as an actor. I had, done plays in high school, got a degree in drama, went and toured the world doing theater, and then decided to go to Hollywood to be a movie star, as one does. And while I was there, I met this woman, fell in love, we got married. And when our first child was on the way, I thought, I might need a backup career. I'm not a doctor, but I played one on TV on Days of Our Lives, but it wasn't enough to support a family. So I started looking around, and I'd always been fascinated by the power of the mind, and I saw an ad for hypnotherapy school. I thought, whoa, that would be cool. It's not exactly the best, steady paycheck kind of thing to start a practice like that, but it was something that was a way that I could make money on the side. And so I started building up a small practice while also pursuing my acting career. And after a couple of years, when our second child was on the way, I realized as much as I loved acting, this was what I'm here for. Doing personal development work was my calling. And it was just fulfilled me in a way, a much different way. So we left Los Angeles to move up to Northern California to be closer to our parents. So the kids could be close to their grandparents. And through some other hypnotherapists, I heard about this energy psychology conference going on in Las Vegas where they're doing this tapping thing. And I thought, all right, that's interesting. When people first learn about EFT or tapping, where you're tapping on your face, some people are a little resistant. They go, that's just weird. As part of my career as an actor, I had gone to Ringling Brothers and Barnum Bailey Clown College. So I was a little more open than some people might be to different things. So,
weird, but already in the playbook.
Exactly. So, and learned this tapping technique, and particularly when Gary Craig, the founder of EFT, who was giving this workshop, took us through a tapping round on chocolate cravings. And I was a bit of a chocoholic at the time. Gave everybody a piece of candy and said, how much do you want this on a scale of 0 to 10? And I'm like, 8, 9. And just after a few moments of tapping, I couldn't eat it. And I actually didn't eat chocolate for 2 years after that. And I recovered. I got better. Don't anyone worry. But there was like, wow, there's something to this. This is weird. and how powerful this simple technique can be. So I started introducing it little by little into my hypnotherapy sessions after that conference. And then little by little, they became tapping sessions with a little bit of hypnosis at the end. I just kind of really liked this process because it literally put the technique into the hands of that person, where they could learn a very simple technique they could use on their own when I wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's so many questions I'm excited to ask about. Quickly, I don't know if I should save it till the end or ask it now, so I'm just going to ask it now. I'm so fascinated because hypnotherapy can also be profoundly impactful. Something I talk about so often is there's a number of emotional wellness modalities and practices. One isn't necessarily better than the other. It's more about what's resonating with me today, this month, this year. And the perfect tool for me today, next year might be something completely different.
Yeah.
But having been that you did experience hypnotherapy and EFT, and ultimately, for whatever reason, decided to go kind of entirely into EFT, I'd love to hear a little bit of what you felt like the differences were between those two of the impact.
Yeah. I like that the client is more engaged, you know, and maybe that's the actor in me liking to have a live audience that gives a reaction rather than just lying there asleep. but it felt like they were more part of the process than just being passive. So I liked that. I liked the simplicity of it, that it was something that was, you know, really at their own fingertips and that they could use on their own. There was something, I don't know, just the way that I work that with folks, that the tapping just seemed more more engaging and more effective. And I still love hypnotherapy. As I said, I still use it in most of my sessions. It's a very healing, very nurturing process. But for the process of creating changes, having the person there and being able to have them give me more feedback than, you know, in hypnotherapy, there are things we can do for feedback, like, you know, swallow or move your finger or something like that, so that they can let us know, you know, that they're getting something or give us yes or no answers. But to have the person more fully there, just for my process, I preferred that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Super fascinating. I've had a number of clients who have done all of the above. And so it's always interesting. And again, I think every tool kind of has a time and a place. So not that we should never be doing hypnotherapy now, it's all about EFT, but just what are the benefits of each? And when we understand that, we know, okay, what's the right tool for the job today?
Absolutely. Absolutely. To me, doing this kind of personal development work or healing work, it's like it's music. So there are many different genres of music. There are many different instruments that we use, and people play these instruments differently. So, you know, one person plays piano, another person plays the guitar, and two people play the guitar differently. So there are people who prefer the way that I do EFT. There are other people who say, yeah, I don't care for that. And that's great. It's like, you know, we don't want to all say, okay, you know what? Keith Richards should tell Eric Clapton he plays the guitar wrong. Some people prefer Eric Clapton, prefer the Rolling Stones. And some people prefer country music, and some people prefer jazz or rock and roll. And so it's like, great. And sometimes we're in a different mood for something different. It's like, you know, today I feel like turning on the classical music station. So being able to have a couple of options, or to be able to say, hey, if you're looking for this, here's another person, another practitioner, another musician who might be more up your alley. So there's no one right way. I certainly never say, oh, EFT is the only healing modality. You should just dump everything else. It's like, no, because it's not going to feel right for everyone, or at least not every time.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I love it. Okay, so with that, let's get into it then. For the newbie who has never heard of this, we're saying EFT, we're saying tapping. Let's start with the basics of what is this, where did this come from, and then we'll piece it out as we go.
Yeah, absolutely. For those of you who've been living under a rock, no, it's, you know, this tapping as it is has been around for, oh, you know, 30, 40 years now. Around 1980, a psychologist named Dr. Roger Callahan was working with a woman with a water phobia, and she had this lifelong difficulty with water, couldn't be around water. It's very difficult. And after working with him for a while, she could be sitting near the swimming pool in his backyard, but had to be looking away from it. And he was exploring his horizon, expanding his horizons and taking different classes, and was taking a course in acupressure. So acupuncture, acupressure, it's been around for thousands of years. And in Chinese medicine, they say that there's this flow of energy through the body along these pathways called meridians. And when the energy is flowing naturally, we experience our natural state of health and well-being. And when this energy gets blocked or disrupted, we don't feel so good. We feel discomfort physically and emotionally. So in traditional Chinese medicine, the doctor would stick needles in these key points to stimulate the healthy flow of energy or apply pressure with acupressure. So Dr. Callahan was learning about this, and he asked, how does this, what do you feel when you're around water? And she said, well, I get a knot in my stomach. And I said, okay, so this endpoint for this stomach meridian is right here under the eye. Let's just tap there for a moment and see if we can do something about the stomach. She said, oh, it's gone. He said, what's gone? She goes, the fear, and runs out of the house towards the swimming pool. And he's running after her, saying, wait, stop. She goes, no, it's okay. I know I don't know how to swim, but got down near the pool and started splashing water in her face. And she said, I feel fine. And so naturally, Dr. Callahan thought, well, that's interesting. So he starts experimenting with different patients. And within a year, he put himself out of business because all of his people were coming to him on a weekly basis. They're like, see you, doc, I'm fine. And he developed this process that he called thought field therapy, where you would take, maybe two or three different points. There are eight points that he used along these different meridians, these major meridians. And he would tap a couple of different points in different sequences depending on what the issue was that that person was experiencing. After he had lost all of his patients, he started teaching this technique. And one of his first students was a gentleman named Gary Craig, who had his degree in engineering from Stanford. And he looked at this and, okay, you got to figure out these different points and these different sequences for different issues. Since there's only eight points we're using, what if we just go top to bottom and take out all the time of figuring out this and sort of simplify the process? And found that he was getting the same kind of great results without having to diagnose these algorithms. So he called this simplified version emotional freedom techniques, or EFT, and a lot of us now call it tapping.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Okay, and can you talk about a little bit? I'm sure I know you're familiar with the tapping solution. I've read that book, so I understand a little bit of the physiology of what's happening with the tapping. And I'd love for that to be shared too, because it's one thing to be like, okay, so let's tap on these points and we're going to see benefits. And I know people do that and see the benefits even without understanding it. I very much am the, like, I want to know what's happening in the brain and the body as much as possible. If you can speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, all kinds of folks go to things differently. When I get in my car, I'm satisfied to turn the key and get myself wherever I'm going without totally understanding how spark plugs work. And I do know how spark plugs work, but I don't understand everything that's going on. And this computer that I'm in, the Zoom, and all this stuff, is like, I'm just happy to use it without understanding the mechanics. However, it is great that we have a growing body of scientific research showing that it's working. And all things. So originally, the basic concept of tapping was that there's this, every upset that we experience, every negative emotion is a disruption in the energy system. And that tapping these points that have been used in acupuncture clear out and balance out that disruption, allowing us to feel better. Now we have all this research showing that it downregulates the stress response in our body. So we have this part of our brain called the amygdala in the limbic system, in the midbrain, that looks for threat. And when it perceives threat, puts us into fight or flight, sometimes in very extreme ways and sometimes in ways that are pretty subtle. But we start pumping cortisol into the body and in adrenaline. And when that's happened, the more we go into fight or flight, the more our prefrontal cortex, our rational mind, goes bye-bye. We're not thinking clearly. And now we're just acting on instinct and habit and old behavior patterns, no matter how unhealthy they might be. You know, it's like, I feel bad. Someone upset me. They said something mean. I need to go eat a box of cookies. Yeah, you're trying to lose weight. I don't care. I'll worry about that later. I have to take care of myself now because this is gone. So the tapping balances out the energy system. It calms down the nervous system such that we can get back into prefrontal cortex. We can think more clearly and understand what's going on and look at what's going on and just have a better perception of, okay, where am I at? What do I really want? What's really the best choice here?
Mm-hmm. To that point, I think this is why sometimes, and I'm not knocking talk therapy, I think it can be absolutely life-changing. Sometimes, though, why some individuals might feel like they're experiencing really slow progress, because we're talking about these topics without any kind of somatic soothing for that dysregulation.
Yes, we are.
And then our prefrontal cortex shuts down.
We're dealing with it's the old Cartesian split. There's a brain and there's a body, and never the twain shall meet. You go to one kind of doctor for body things, you go to another kind of doctor for mental things, and it's like, these are feelings. Why do we call them feelings? Because we feel them in our body. We're not sitting there and going, gosh, I'm really, really angry right now. Oh, I'm feeling so much fear right now. It's like, no, it's a visceral experience. So why would we, you know, have all of this? There are thoughts involved, but there's also this feeling, it's this mind-body connection. So yes, there is a lot that we can do with talk therapy, and as you said, not bash at all. But to be able to add in the somatic component and deal with what's going on, particularly when you look at how much trauma affects us, and Dr. Bessel van der Kolk, who, you know, his book is called "The Body Keeps the Score." If the body's keeping the score, then we should probably not just work with the brain, you know. And EFT is one of the tools that he uses with patients.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing that there's more somatic techniques and practices coming into center stage or mainstream culture. But yes, what I find too is not only does using something like EFT help you stay in a more grounded, calm place as you're thinking through or talking with something or talking about something, but it also, I find, allows those epiphanies to come through. Something that you've been like, trying to find the solutions puzzling away, and you just feel so stuck. And then we bring in some of this somatic stuff, and all of a sudden it's like the clarity comes because we've stilled the storm in the mind.
Absolutely. So the extent to which we don't have what we say we want tends to be the extent to which we're resisting it. And I know that's going to bother some people because it's like, what do you mean? I'm not resisting my goals. I'm doing everything I can every single day. Absolutely. If someone was to watch me, they would see that every action I take is always moving forward towards. Yeah, probably not. And it's not to blame anyone. It's about getting curious rather than judgmental with ourselves. We spend so much time beating ourselves up for the success that we don't have, when we want to look at and realize that self-sabotage is simply misguided self-love. When you go to eat that box of cookies, even though it's trashing your health goals, it is an act of self-love, because part of you is saying, look, I just need to feel okay right now. And I just can't think clearly. I just know that cookies make me feel better. I have all these associations of cookies with parties and happiness and joy, and this is what's going to calm me down. So we want to be absolutely compassionate with ourselves and recognize that. So when we are looking at these goals that we have, and what are the things that I could do that would get me there? What are the ideas I could have? Well, if I'm resisting that because it doesn't feel safe, you know, like, if I have these ideas, I'll make more money. And I was taught that money was the root of all evil, and I don't want to be evil. So I'm going to brilliantly stop myself from having that. So there's like an electric fence around our comfort zone, you know, physically, financially, relationship-wise. And we start to get close to that, and we back off. we're unconscious of this. We don't even realize, I don't know why I'm not getting further ahead, because you keep backing off from that. So I back off from those ideas, because when I start to think about something that could make my life better, although, according to part of my mind, less safe, I'm going to feel that resistance and back off. As I tap to calm down that stress, it's like, oh, I'm safe. And as I think about having more money, I could handle that. Oh, I've got an idea. This idea that's been waiting. It's like, thank you. I've been waiting to get in, but you've had all this resistance.
Mm-hmm. The subconscious mind and the subconscious beliefs is literally what I pair everything I do with, because yeah. We know how impactful and influential it is. And something I tell every single client is your subconscious is only ever trying to protect you.
Yes.
It's just sometimes it's working on old belief systems, or the priorities are kind of funked up to that point of self-sabotage. It's, yes, I want to pursue this thing, but the subconscious perceived threats or what I'm perceiving I'm needing now in this moment is outweighing all of those good things I'm trying to pursue.
Yes.
And I see that all the time, especially with a lot of health stuff.
Yeah.
I think the subconscious, it can use health, poor health, actually as a protective mechanism.
Absolutely.
Keeping us safe or getting us things we need. And it's jarring to be confronted with that, because there are so many people I work with, I know, who are truly trying to do everything they can to get to better health.
Yes.
And yet feel so stuck.
Right. Because they don't realize what the conflicting goals are. You know, there's a term that gets a lot of people find it as a negative thing when they hear it, but secondary gain. Because it feels, you know, when we talk about it with a health issue or an emotional issue or whatever it might be, you know, what's the secondary gain? It's like, oh, no. And then it's this idea of you're blaming the victim. Oh, it's my fault that I had this. It's like, no, it's not about that. But we do want to look at where part of this might be playing a role in this.
In case you haven't heard, in 2024, we are no longer applying our natural deodorant. We are eating it. And let me explain. For the past few months now, I have been using It Just Works natural deodorant capsules. What I love about these is it's helping deodorize the body from the inside out. What we know about body odor from a more holistic perspective is oftentimes body odor is coming from internal imbalances. So yes, we can use natural deodorants that help mask the odor from the outside, but it's not oftentimes getting to the root cause. It Just Works natural deodorant capsules help deodorize the body from the inside out. It's organic, there's no fillers, completely non-toxic, and clinically proven to help deodorize the entire body, not just our armpits. This includes oral odor, armpit odor, odor down there, if you know what I'm talking about. So check the show notes for a link to learn more and order your first It Just Works deodorant capsules.
There have definitely been times where we got out of things that we didn't really want to do because we weren't up to it. You know, I've been invited to a party. I don't want to go, oh, I think I've got something coming on. And because if I just say, no, I don't want to go, people are going to be pissed off at me and it's going to be unpleasant. But if I'm not feeling well, then they're going to say, oh, no, no, no. They're going to give me sympathy and give me an out. So it's like, hey, that's a win. Yeah, I feel the physical discomfort. And part of me says, it's a worthy sacrifice. So in all these different kinds of things where we come up with, we manifest distractions of different kinds because we have these conflicting goals. And there's something that says, I would like this, but at the moment, I would like this more. It's like, we're always motivated. Sometimes we're motivated to stay in bed. You know, I don't believe in lazy. It is not we're never lazy. We just have more resistance than we have motivation at that moment. And so I, you know, we're always running this cost benefit analysis. And so when we look at something and if the benefits aren't outweighing the cost, we don't do it. It's not to just say it's lazy. It's like, no, we're just dismissing what's going on here. That's like going to the store and saying, oh, I'd really like to try this product. And I, you know, that'd be really cool. And then we see the price and go, nah, you know what? It's not worth $15 to me. And we put it back. Would we call that lazy? Because that's exactly what we're doing with all these. If you're not, you know, exercising the way that you want to, if you're not working on your projects the way you want to, you're not lazy. There's something in your mind saying it's not worth it. The benefits to me at the moment are not outweighing the cost or the cost of getting it. It's like, if I work on this project, I might, or if I do really well in school or whatever it might be, if I'm really healthy, people might expect more from me. I could raise expectations, and man, I don't want to do that. I hate it when people expect things from me. So if I can lower expectations, and hey, you know what? I may have no conscious awareness of this. I'm just sitting there with this project, and it's like, wow, I should really work on that project. Yeah, you know what? 3 more episodes of Friends, and then I'll do it. Because part of me is going, yeah. Hold on, don't overachieve, don't do too much, because if they can see that you can do that better and more quickly, they're going to throw more at you, and then you can just say goodbye to seeing Friends ever.
Yes, totally. There's lots of extremities and extrapolation that happens in the subconscious.
Yeah, I say it's like having a chess grandmaster in your head that's thinking 50 moves ahead. You know, we might be saying, you know, I'm tired of being alone. I'd really like to meet somebody. And so then we're in the grocery store and we see this attractive stranger over there. And our mind, the chess grandmaster is going, I could go over and say hi. They might say hi back. We might start a conversation. We might find that we get along. We might make a date. That date could lead to a second date and a third date. We might move in together. We might get married. And they'd break my heart like the last person. Oh, look, there's a sale on aisle 2. And we're down on aisle 2 and we're just looking at the product and going, why don't I ever meet anybody? Because this has all happened at this unconscious level where we don't even know what happened. This chess grandmaster is like, whew, dodge that bullet.
Yeah. And I don't know what you find. So often the way, because a lot of this is unconscious. So
yes.
What people usually, for me at least, the starting point tends to be, what's the pattern? What are the patterns in my life? Maybe the pattern is I can't lose this weight that I'm wanting to. Maybe the pattern is I'm deeply yearning for connection, and yet I can't ever seem to find those people. Maybe the pattern is I keep dating toxic people. So people tend to be very, very aware of the negative or the limiting things they want gone, and yet can't, you know, they get really, really stuck. And for me, that's that sign that, yes, there's a conscious subconscious disconnect.
Yeah.
We've got to get in there and figure out what that is. But yes, does that tend to be the starting point for you, or at least when you work with people one-on-one? Okay, what's the pattern?
Yeah.
Where are we stuck?
Looking at where, why do you do, you know, if I'm always meeting the wrong kind of people, why might I be doing that? So it's looking at what's the motivation there? Because, you know, I've worked with a lot of folks. It's like, you are brilliantly finding the most unavailable people because there's a part of you that is terrified of finding the right person. You know, it's like you're looking around. It's like, oh, that person could be a winner. I'll choose you. You know, that's like, why do I? And so I have this pattern and looking at it and going, great, there's nothing wrong here. Self-sabotage is misguided self-love. What are you trying to protect yourself from? What are you afraid would happen if you didn't find that kind of person? You're brilliantly manifesting these people showing up and inviting these people in. And again, not blaming the victim. And obviously, there are circumstances that show up that I would never blame someone for. But I always like to say, let's come from the place of I'm creating my reality, so that at least I'm doing my part to make it as wonderful as possible. and I don't want, because so often people say, no, it's not my fault. I had a client early on and we were talking about things and she said, you know, you're just like my boyfriend. You're trying to change me. And I said, well, yeah, because I can't walk around with you all day long and change everybody you interact with. It's like, you are the common denominator in your life. And I totally get where she's coming from. It's never judging anyone where they're at, because we're always doing the best we can with what our programming is. And you can even look at your worst mistake ever. And if you could open your brain and look at all the neural pathways and all the experiences leading up to that moment, you'd get to that decision and go, I totally see why I did that. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do it now because hopefully I have more wisdom and more experience and all kinds of new resources. But I totally see it that at that moment, while I look at, there were so many doors open to me at that moment. Why'd I go through that door? And looking back and seeing everything in living color, it's like, I only saw one door. Or there was no other place. And so we want to have compassion with ourselves. Yeah. Having that compassion with ourselves and going, okay, so what was going on? What was the fear that drove me through that door? And how do I change my mind about that? And look at those beliefs that I have, and then finding, how do I feel about that? So I'll ask folks, what are you afraid would be different? What are you afraid would happen if you had what you say you wanted? If you had the money you say you wanted, if you had the body you say you wanted, and what's the fear? I was working with a woman in a weight loss workshop once, and she, through the tapping, as we were saying, as you clear the fear, we are more aware of things that we've been hiding, stuffing in the closet. It's like, oh, now I see that. And she's tapping it, and she goes, oh my God, I'm afraid that if I lost the weight, I would be more attractive to other men and I might cheat on my husband. I am staying overweight to protect my marriage. And as she got conscious about that, she realized, I don't need to do that. I love my husband. Why would I? There was all this programming about, well, if you are more attractive or feel more attractive, people will come on to you and you're not going to be able to resist temptation. And she goes, yeah, I could resist that temptation. I am not interested in anybody else. I don't need to protect myself in this way from that.
Mm-hmm. It's always, I think we do in that realm of, I'm a co-creator of my life. What am I consistently attracting in, or what am I consistently repelling?
Yes.
And then I really do. I have found there's lots and lots of those subconscious beliefs grounded in life experiences, even generational trauma, that can be at play here.
Absolutely.
But for me, they always come down to one of two things. Either it's not safe or I don't deserve it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when we can get to those specific beliefs within those categories and start to process them, reframe them, let them go, then all of a sudden, I'm sure this is what you've seen, like the pattern just shifts with so much ease.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny that you say that, Leanne, because when I ask people to imagine what they want, and I'll have them close their eyes and imagine you've got it. Now say to yourself, it's safe for me to have this. It's okay for me to have this. I deserve to have this. And then I rate each of those on a scale of 0 to 10. So as you said, safe and deserve. And then I say, is it okay? Just to cover anything else that might be there. It doesn't quite feel like a safety issue or deserving issue, but yeah. And even at some level, the deserve question is a safety issue, because we have belief of, if I have something I don't deserve, that's wrong. And it's not safe to be wrong. So ultimately, almost all of them come down to a safety issue. It's like it's been said, there's two emotions. There's love and there's fear. And what doesn't feel like love has fear underneath it at some point, this fear that I'm not safe in some way. And we want to get as, whatever the flavor is, if it feels more like it's undeserved, a matter of deservingness rather than safety, great, let's work with that. And probably the biggest issue that most folks face in terms of a lot of things is, I'm somehow not good enough. I'm somehow not worthy. I'm somehow not deserving. And, for me, it's always about, okay, I'm here to disabuse you of that misunderstanding, because you're awesome. You really are God's gift to the earth. And allowing yourself to then say, okay, what are the beliefs that I've heard about that? What are the things that I've been told, the experiences, and being able to break up, because it has an emotional hold on us. And through the tapping, we're able to break up that emotional hold and look at it and go, oh, I totally misread that situation. When someone did this to me, it didn't mean that I wasn't good enough. And even if they literally said, you're not good enough, that was their stuff. you know, maybe my performance was off. I may not have, submitted something in the correct format, but that doesn't mean that I'm not good enough. My effort might not have been everything it could have been. I may have made some mistakes along the way, but it has nothing to do with my core value. Mm-hmm. And as we get clear on that, a world of possibilities opens up to us.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love it. I love how aligned we are too.
Yeah. It's like, just when you use those words, it's like, ah, yes, you're speaking my language.
Totally. 1,000%. And I think the audience is just going to connect with it so deeply too. For those of you who follow me on Instagram, you'll know that I share Honeybee Hippie so often. This is my absolute favorite brand of tallow products. There are so many skin benefits to using tallow. And since I started using tallow on my skin, I notice I just am so well hydrated. It responds, my skin responds so well to it. I also noticed that because I'm using my hands to rub it in, my nails grow like crazy. There's just so many bioavailable nutrients available in tallow. And my absolutely favorite brand is Honeybee Hippie. I have used so many of her products. What I love is, number one, this is a local female-owned small business here in Orange County. She makes all of her products herself with the absolute cleanest, highest quality ingredients. A couple of her products that I'm absolutely obsessed with right now are her magnesium butter and then her whipped tallow butter. I'm using her Rewind. I'll just read you some of these ingredients. They're so amazing. Organic frankincense, rose, lavender, chamomile, calendula, marshmallow root infused into 100% grass-fed tallow and organic olive oil, organic beeswax. Here's one thing I really want to point out, though, because this is why I love Honeybee Hippie so much. Aside from how clean the ingredients are, she doesn't use any essential oils. And for those of you who have heard one of my past interviews about how essential oils can be really, really harsh on our skin, especially when used chronically, I started noticing I was really having a lot of reactions to products with essential oils in them, even including products like deodorant. All of her products are made with herbal infusions, meaning these herbs are soaked and that is infused into the tallow of the product versus using those more harsh essential oils. So check the link below. I also have a discount code for you guys. So be sure to check the show notes for that discount code and to learn more and shop so many of her amazing, amazing tallow products. We've already even touched on some of the topics, though, that people can tap on. What I'd love to get into is, yeah, maybe a little bit more of, hey, here's the broad array of places one can visit, but also, okay, now how can I start using this tool, this resource?
Yeah. So the original tag phrase that that Gary Craig had come up with for EFT was, try it on everything. You know, we don't know what it won't work on. And I know that that scares some people off. It's like, oh, it's a panacea. It's this magic bullet for everything. Here's the thing is, most, if not all of the things that bother us are either caused by or worsened by stress. So if you have a simple tool for relieving stress, that's why it could be so beneficial in so many different areas. So when we're dealing with an emotional upset, you know, someone hurt my feelings, I can tap to downregulate that distress. If I'm feeling physical pain, you know, plenty of doctors will say stress plays a major role in the pain that we experience or in some illness. And so relieving the stress can relieve the discomfort that we're experiencing. And I'll tell folks, I'm not going to make any claims about tapping being able to heal a disease, although there are some really cool stories of things that have happened. But for me, like if you break your leg, I'm not going to say, oh, here, even though I broke my leg, oh, look, it's all mended now. Instantly.
Right.
Miraculous healings happen. I'm just not going to claim that. But when we are experiencing a physical distress, there tends to be a certain amount of emotional distress that goes with it. I may be sad that it happened. I may be afraid of how long it's going to take to heal. I may feel guilty about how limited I am and how I'm not able to do for others what I've been doing. There may be all these things. So all of this energy of mine is now going off focused on fear and guilt and sadness, when I really want all of that focused on mending my leg or whatever else, because our body has amazing healing capabilities. So we want that all there, and we want to get to as much peace as possible. So it's like, okay, I want to be functioning as high as I can, at least emotionally and mentally, even if I'm physically compromised at the moment. So, and then someone else said, was recently asking me, how can tapping help you with money? And I said, okay, do you believe that your behavior has anything to do with your financial situation? She's like, well, yeah. I said, okay, do you believe that stress has anything to do with your behavior? She goes, well, yeah. And I said, ergo, if you can relieve stress, you can change your behavior and change your results. You know, I'll tell people, it's like, you can come in at from a standpoint of law of attraction and manifestation and say, okay, you want to be in vibrational harmony with what you want. And we put things up on our vision board and we say, oh, I really want that. That's the 10% of our conscious mind saying, I really want that. The other 90% is going, it's so cute when you fantasize like that. You go ahead and you get excited about that, but we're going to make sure it doesn't happen. Because all of these beliefs, the reason I don't have it is because part of me says, I shouldn't have it. It's not right. It's not safe. I don't deserve it, whatever it is. So we're brilliantly keeping ourselves from having that. So we're not really in that vibrational harmony with that thing. We're in the vibrational harmony of wanting it, but not having it. And we can change our vibration through tapping. So I'll say to folks, okay, if you want more money, you can go from law of attraction standpoint of I'm getting myself in vibrational harmony by clearing out those reasons why, those old beliefs about why I could or should have it. And if you go, law of attraction, that's woo-woo. Okay, great. From a purely psychological behavioral standpoint, what are the things that you could be doing to earn more money, spend more wisely, invest more productively, efficiently? And what stops you from doing that? There are emotional and psychological things going on that limit you. We can change your behavior and help you be more financially successful in that way.
Mm-hmm. Where is the starting point? Do you recommend people start with jumping on YouTube, doing your videos solo, or is it actually better to start with a practitioner, get the guidance, and then go off solo or some combination?
Yeah. You know, I'm not big on rules because, you know, different strokes for different folks. And for many people, hiring a practitioner may not be something that's an option for them at the moment. That's why I have these videos on YouTube. You know, when I first started doing the tapping, I started creating things online because the internet was still fairly new at this point. And then YouTube came around. I thought, hey, wouldn't it be cool if there was a tapping video people could use? And they could start their morning that way, and I'll call it Tap of the Morning. And that was all I intended to do. So I have a video on YouTube now. Yay. And like 6 months later, I thought, I should have one to end the day, and I'll call it Tap of the Evening, and then I'm done. And then I had another idea. And now there's like 1,400 videos or something like that on all kinds of different subjects. So trying to make it as easy as possible for folks, because people can look at a new process and say, I don't know how to do it. Like, here, let me take all the guesswork out of it for you and just make it simple. And if you want to change words at a certain point, by all means, it's not like these are the perfect words for everybody. There's no one right way for everybody, but this is just a simple way to get started. And I'll say, you know, if there's a particular thing that you want to work on, relationships, or I'm really angry at someone, or I'm feeling sad, or I want to make more money, or I want to have more athletic success, or something like that, it's like, there's a tap for that. You know, go in, search on YouTube, and, you know, I probably have a video similar to that, or one of my colleagues has a video similar to that. So that's a simple way to get started. obviously, working with a practitioner, you can get moved faster. It's just like if you're trying to get in really fit shape, you can exercise at home. You can hire a personal trainer, and you are probably going to get results more quickly if that's an option for you. But just allowing yourself to get started. And to me, tapping is ideally a daily practice. I think it should be as routine as brushing your teeth, because we have physical hygiene, like brushing our teeth. Most of us do it on a daily basis, whether we need it or not. We don't wait until people are holding the nose around us and go, oh, that's right, I haven't brushed my teeth in 3 days. Or I don't look in the mirror and go, oh, there's nothing green sticking out between my teeth. I'm good. And if our teeth are relatively clean, like at the end of the night, we may say, oh, my teeth look okay. I don't see anything, but I'm still going to brush them. And I might not notice a difference, but I still do it because I know that it's beneficial. And the same happens with tapping, because sometimes people will tap and they'll go, it's not doing anything. It doesn't work. I don't feel any different. It's like, with the research that's been done, we have all kinds of biological markers. There's fMRI studies. We see the brain scans. We have cortisol tests where we see the hormones and the shifts and that happen physically. So someone could say, I don't feel any different. And I could say, let's stick you through the machine, and I'm going to show you that something beneficial has happened. It's like taking vitamins. I challenge anybody to say you've ever taken a vitamin and immediately noticed a positive difference. But it's like, well, we would trust the research. Many of us might trust the research and say, I believe that it's beneficial. We don't do 3 sit-ups and say, I don't have a rock hard six pack. Apparently sit-ups don't work.
Yeah.
It might take a little longer to notice the difference, but the changes are already happening. So for me, we have that physical hygiene. Tapping on a daily basis to me is energy hygiene. It's allowing ourselves to clear whatever might be there that we can't see, and allows us to be more ready for what might show up, so that when stressful situations happen in life, or when this little thing that we're all carrying around says, hey, did you hear about this? How upsetting is that? It's like we don't freak out because we're not already at a higher level of stress. It's like, oh, okay, yeah. I'm much more peaceful. I'm much more calm because I have this daily energetic hygiene. So we don't have to wait until there's a problem. Some people say, oh, EFT, that's for clearing out when you have a problem. And, if you're not feeling bad, then there's nothing to do. It's like, no, that's like waiting until you can see stuff on your teeth. So I tap first thing in the morning. And it's not that I wake up in a bad mood every morning and go, even though it's another crappy morning. It's like, no, I'll tap silently, or I'll tap while saying prayers or affirmations, just to get myself in as open a space as possible to have the best day possible.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. We're speaking the exact same language. I work with a lot of chronic illness and also cancer patients. On Fridays, I do EVOX therapy at an integrative cancer center here in Orange County. And I tell every single patient I work with, hey, they're training you out there to do something every single day for your physical health. And I'm going to start to train you to do something every single day for your emotional, spiritual health. Yes, it's especially a lot of us in this more integrative, holistic world, that idea of course I take my supplement. Of course I move my body. Of course I get my sunshine, whatever it is. Yeah. It's so instinctual. It's so natural. And I am pushing for the day when that emotional, energetic, spiritual piece is viewed in the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, why wouldn't you, parents saying to their kids, don't forget to brush your teeth and do your mental hygiene and your energetic hygiene.
Yeah.
Boy, we would, if we were learning that as kids, there are so many things, misunderstandings that we would not have taken on, and we would all have much greater freedom to thrive physically, professionally, financially, romantically, however, in ways that were so confined because, we were told to brush our teeth, but not our mind.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Or our emotions in our body. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That all of it, that cleansing of all of that stuff that, it's like, yeah, my teeth are not the only things getting gunk on them throughout the day.
Mm-hmm. There's more to digest than just food.
Yes.
There's a lot going on emotionally, spiritually, yes, energetically.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay. We got through so much. I'm actually very impressed with how much we covered. And you had mentioned possibly taking us through or kind of demoing some EFT for us.
Yeah,
so
I would love to.
If you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
So kind of guide the way.
Yeah. So first I'm just going to describe the process real quickly, just with the points they're going to be using. And then we'll have some fun with it and we'll go a little more freeform. But just the very basic version of EFT is you would decide, okay, what's bothering me? I feel stress. I feel tension in my shoulders. I'm nervous about this report that's due next week. I'm really angry at Bob, whatever it might be. And then we'd rate that on a scale of 0 to 10. Wow, Bob was a real jerk. It's an 8, you know? And how do I feel it? Well, I feel this tension in my shoulders. So now I'm aware of what, I'm being aware of what's there. And I'm going to take the fingertips of my index and middle finger on my dominant hand, and I'll invite everyone to go ahead and do this. I'm going to take those fingertips and gently tap on the opposite hand. So right there on the side of your hand, right between your wrist and your pinky. And while we're tapping there, we'll say, even though I have this issue, I choose to love and accept myself. And we'll repeat that 3 times. And the reason we do that is because most often we're resisting it. Oh, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. Using that 4-letter F word, fine. But what you resist persists. So I'm saying, even though I have this, and we'll state whatever the issue is, this stress, this anger at Bob, this nervousness about the report, whatever. And then, so we'll say that 3 times while tapping the side of the hand. Then we'll go to the eyebrow points. This is right at the beginning of your eyebrow, right near the center of your face. And we'll gently tap. We'll tap each of these points about 5 to 10 times while repeating the reminder phrase, this stress, this anger at Bob. So we'll tap at the eyebrow, all this stress. Follow your eyebrow out to the side of your eye. So right there at the corner of your eye socket, all this stress. Right under the middle of your eye, just above your cheek, all this stress. Right under the nose, just above your upper lip, all this stress. Right below your lower lip, just above your chin, all this stress. Right where your collarbones just about come together, there's a little bit of a U shape at the base of your throat. And you can tap all of your fingertips or even make a fist and cover both collarbones. All this stress. The next point is about 4 inches below your armpit. It's right about bra strap level, and I'm sure even the guys can figure out where that is. All this stress. And then finally, with the top of your head, using all of your fingertips, tapping around the crown of your head. All this stress. We take a deep breath and check in again and say, okay, how much stress am I feeling? How angry am I at Bob? If it was an 8, sometimes it'll go from an 8 to a 0 like that. It doesn't usually happen that fast, but it can. It may go from an 8 to a 7.75. But if I've been at an 8 for a while, 7.75 is going to feel like some relief. And then it's also like peeling the layers of the onion. So as I'm tapping, I might get more clear about what's upsetting me. It's like I might be saying, this anger at Bob. Oh, wait a minute. It's not even Bob. This reminds me of something that Cindy did to me in the 3rd grade, and I never forgave her, and I'm still upset about that. And now I have a chance to clear something that I've been holding in my energy system for decades. And there's no telling how much health, wealth, and happiness this has limited me from because I never got over something that happened on the playground when I was in the 3rd grade. And now I can release that. So that's one of the cool things that can happen with the tapping. So that's the basic process. Now we're going to ask, I don't know, Leanne, is there something you'd like to tap on a subject that comes to mind?
I can choose. I'm always doing stuff and clearing my own limiting beliefs. In case you're new to the Accrescent community, you might not know that in addition to this podcast, I also work with clients one-on-one, in person and remotely using Evox voice mapping and biofeedback therapy, as well as pairing that with a number of different modalities and specialties, including subconscious work, somatic experiencing, neuro-linguistic programming. And really, my ultimate goal is to help clients start to identify what is going on in my subconscious mind that is keeping me stuck in limiting emotional patterns, limiting behavioral patterns, and maybe even poor health. I work with a lot of chronic illness and cancer patients to, number one, support them through that present day turbulence of the diagnoses that they're experiencing, helping them have more peace, more clarity as they're going through that process, but also doing some of that deep detective work of, might there be some past unresolved turbulence, past unprocessed trauma or adverse experiences that are contributing to the dis-ease in my body that might be contributing to the disease that I'm experiencing. If you want to learn more, there's links in the show notes to learn about Evox Therapy, my process, as well as a link to book a discovery call, a free discovery call, if you want to be able to ask more questions, talk with me face to face, and just get to know a little bit more before booking your first appointment. Okay, there's two that come to mind. Maybe I'll let you choose which one.
Okay. As long as you can narrow the choice down for me, it's easier.
Okay, option one is, yes, there's some big new business ventures I'm going into within the next month or two that are very, very much taking me out of my comfort zone and taking me to places and levels I've never been before. And I've noticed these last 2 weeks feeling very lethargic and heavy and self-doubts creeping in. And
brilliant. Brilliant. Brilliant way of keeping yourself in your comfort zone.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If I just convince myself I have nothing to share, then I don't have to do any of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Imposter syndrome is just, because there's a part of this that knows how amazing we are. But it's like, if I can convince myself and convince others that I don't have much to offer, no one can expect much from me, and I can play it safe.
Yep.
So.
And I can stay in what I know. Yeah, no. Totally.
Do I just tap on that one? Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Sure, let's go for that. That's more important.
Well, anyway. If you want to throw out the other option too, we'll see. Maybe we can incorporate them.
The other option, this is like lifelong pattern. Also something this year, a big, big commitment of mine of, this is the pattern I'm tackling this year. Every year there's kind of a theme, and then it rolls into, okay, now what's the next thing I'm trying to release and move through? So this year, the big, big pattern is this pattern of connection and wanting deep connection with friends and whoever it might be, and feeling like it's so hard for me to get that. And I know a lot of that is rooted in childhood trauma of being sexually abused and not feeling safe with people.
Yeah.
Something I've shared a little bit about here and there. So this year is very much, even with, I have, you know, my close family members, couple very close friends, and that's it. And I know there's people in my periphery I could be very close with, but I feel that when we're talking about what we're attracting or repelling, I feel that repelling energy coming from me of like, I will not cross this threshold.
Yeah. Yeah.
So those are the two.
Excellent. Those are the one, to some extent. We'll see how that. Yeah. Because it's this resistance to something that feels unsafe, and it's a pattern. So to a great extent, both of the things you mentioned, it's like, okay, different scenario, same pattern, different.
Same through line. Yeah.
Just different. Scenarios.
Manifestations of
it. Yeah. Same play, different actors.
I love that.
Or same actors, different play. But, okay, I'm going to invite everyone to close your eyes. Take a deep breath in and hold it. And let it go. Now just allowing yourself to be right here, right now, as present as possible. Allow yourself to be aware of what's going on in your body. Just following your breath through your body and noticing how you're feeling physically and emotionally. And now think about something that you'd like to have, something you're working towards. It may be connection with other people. It may be a business venture, a shift in how you run your business. New opportunities. and just allow yourself to be aware. So whichever one you choose, just allow yourself to follow your breath through your body and notice where you might feel discomfort. Notice what parts of you say, it's not safe, it's not okay, maybe I don't deserve it. Don't worry about getting it right. Just allow yourself to be aware of what shows up, however it shows up. It may be showing up as thoughts, beliefs, or memories. It may just show up as some physical sensations. Like, I don't know why I'm not comfortable with this. I just get this lump in my throat or this knot in my stomach. Just allow yourself to be aware of what that is. And to whatever extent you can, maybe rate that resistance on a scale of 0 to 10. And don't judge yourself if the number's higher than you had expected. Just allow yourself to be curious rather than judgmental. Take a deep breath. Let it go. Open your eyes. And just tapping where I tap. So I'll, for folks who may just be listening to this on audio, I don't know if you do just an audio version of this as well. So we'll start on the side of the hand, and then I'll tell you when to go to the eyebrow point. And then with each phrase, repeat the phrase back and then move on to the next point. If you don't remember where the points are, don't worry about it. If you get the points wrong, it's okay. If you're not on the same point that I'm on, it's okay. You can even just stay on tapping on one point if that feels comfortable. You'll still get benefits from this. So, and I'm going to encourage folks to say it out loud. Leanne, if you want to say it quietly for the purpose of because sometimes it works better for a podcast that way. But I'll encourage everyone else to say it out loud, because when we do that, we tend to get more emotionally engaged and it can make the process more effective. But if you're someplace where you can't say it out loud, you get benefits even doing it silently. So don't worry about it. So side of the hand. Even though I'm feeling this resistance, I choose to love and accept myself. Even though I'm feeling this resistance, I choose to love and honor myself. Even though I'm feeling this resistance, some part of me says it's not safe. It just feels unfamiliar. And what is new and unfamiliar feels threatening to part of me. And that's why I'm resisting it. And even though I have some resistance, I choose to deeply and completely love, honor, and accept myself. And maybe other people who have contributed to this fear. Because I choose to feel that free. Now, moving on to the eyebrow point. All this resistance. And we'll just move through each of the points on each word. All this fear of the unknown. And maybe part of me says, some of the things that could happen are very much known and very unwanted. When I think about connecting with people, I remember times in my life where there were some very bad connections. So I choose to love and appreciate those parts of me that are trying to protect me from that happening again. And I'm processing those feelings. And maybe part of me says, if I don't continue to hold on to pain, if I don't hold on to this fear, I'll go and get myself in trouble again. And I'll be hurt again. And I love and honor that part of me. I'm also giving myself permission to see that I've grown a lot. I've learned a lot. I have a lot of wisdom that I didn't have back then. I have a lot of resources I didn't have back then. I have a lot more options than I did back then. I can take better care of myself now. I choose to acknowledge that I'm safer now. And I also know that while I can't predict everything that could happen, I choose to know I can handle what happens. Because I've already handled everything that happened in the past. Maybe not always as gracefully as I would have liked. But I handled it. The proof being that I'm still here. So I choose to have more faith in myself. I choose to feel safer moving forward. With all kinds of opportunities. Personal and professional. Because the truth is, I am a magnificent child of the universe. Worthy and deserving of the best this world has to offer. The universe keeps showing this to me. Every moment I'm breathing, every time I inhale, I'm asking for oxygen. And the universe always says, yes, you deserve this. Everyone go ahead and take a big deep breath in at the moment. And then keep tapping. I just took a deeper breath. And the universe said, yes, you're deserving of more. The universe didn't say, no, you're only deserving of a little bit like before. And I managed having more. I handled more oxygen. I choose to have more faith in my ability to handle more. I love and appreciate those parts of me that felt it was necessary to resist opportunities. And I'm allowing myself to feel much safer, giving myself much more freedom to succeed in body, mind, and spirit. And take a deep breath. And again, with your eyes closed, go ahead and imagine that thing that you'd like to have, that thing you're working towards. Imagine having it. And again, say, it's safe for me to have this. And hopefully that feels more open. And again, it may be like peeling layers of the onion. You may have more clarity about, oh, now I know why I've been resisting this. Now I know why I've been distracting myself. And then you can tap more specifically on that stuff that comes up.
Mm-hmm. I love that. That was so good.
How are you feeling about those opportunities ahead of you?
Well, definitely different. Yeah, I think it took it from maybe like a 7 to a 3.
Nice.
And it changes too from before there's this dread, this heaviness, this resistance to there's still nervousness about it, but there is a lot more ease there. I can do this. And it is going to be hard because I'm doing something I've never done before.
Yeah. There isn't an expectation that suddenly everything that is new to us is going to feel as comfortable as everything that we've been doing for years. Well, in fact, if it was like that, what would be the point? You know, we expect to find things exciting. That's part of life, but not feeling threatened by that or stopped by that.
Mm-hmm. 1,000%. Thank you so much for taking us through that.
No, my pleasure. Beautiful. My pleasure.
For anyone who, again, is new, wants to learn more about you, where are some places they can go? I'll also make sure they're linked in the show notes too, but just so we have it here as well.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. The easiest actually is to go to my website, tapwithbrad.com. And if you go there, you can find a free 5-day program called Success Beyond Belief, which is like, oh, success beyond belief. It's like so much success, but it's also technically what it means. It's the success that is beyond your current beliefs about what you could or should have. And so, yeah, that's a free 5-day program you can find at tapwithbrad.com. And then on that page, you'll find links to my YouTube channel, to other programs that I have, to the research. I have, links to all kinds of research, scientific research about validating this process. So all kinds
Thank
of resources
you
there.
So much. I'm so excited. As I said, I'll make sure all of those are linked in the show notes below. Thank you so much for giving us your time.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for what you're doing. And thank you for this opportunity to share this. And thank you to everyone who's listening or watching and willing to give this possibly strange looking process a chance.
Yeah, try something new. Hey, there's no downside. So
yeah, there's no downside.
So might as well try it.
And everything is energy. We're all connected. So the cleansing that you do for yourself benefits the world at large. So please and thank you.